Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
From single moms struggling to make ends meet to marketing powerhouse behind multi-million dollar funnels, Julie Chanels knows exactly how to craft a value proposition so compelling it makes saying yes the only option. So we're excited that she's here today to show you how to do the same. So Julie, I'm so grateful to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this conversation.
And we all have to know that Jeannie is fangirling here because she's followed Julie for a long time and loves her work. So we're so grateful to have you here.
We saw you in 2018 on stage.
Oh, wow. Okay. So like six years ago or however many years that is now, seven.
Yeah. Time flies. Well, Julie, you said we were talking about how it's important to have your value proposition, and you said it is the most important thing. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I think it would be helpful to define what a value proposition is. And you might hear it said USP, which is unique selling point, or you might hear it as UVP, which is your unique value proposition. And it's basically what makes you different. And this is a little nerve-wracking for people who say, well, I'm really not that different. You know, it's like, there's only so many ways to lose weight, or there's only so many ways to train a dog, or there's only so many ways to like fix a marriage, right? Whatever your topic is. And so it can feel tricky to have something that's unique and different. And I totally understand that. But really, in this day and age, with the amount of people that are online and the acceleration of tech and AI, if you do not have something unique, you are really in danger of just, you know, disappearing and being drowned out. So this is the critical piece. And that's why I always say it's the most important conversation you can have, even though it's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's funny because being a marketer and paying so much attention to people's like landing pages and websites and stuff, you're so right, because all of a sudden I see, oh, I've seen that copy before. They're saying exactly the same vague thing that everybody else says.
So exactly.
Where would you recommend someone start with creating their unique selling proposition?
Okay, so really important, and I always ask people when they're working with me on their offer, and I say, what is the problem that you're solving, right? So we always start with the problem, and you'd be amazed how many people can't answer that question. They'll be like, well, I help, you know, parents get their newborn to sleep. I'm like, you didn't tell me what the problem was. So we start with the problem, and then we dial in who has that problem. And the more specific you are, the better, and the easier it will be to come up with a value proposition. So once you've got those two things, then you go to the UVP, USP. I like to use a little analogy. We all like chicken. I mean, if you're a vegetarian, you don't like chicken, but most of us like chicken, right? And I want you to think about how many ways chicken gets packaged up in the stores, in the restaurants, right? It could be, you know, served on a plate already prepared. It could be raw in a plastic package in the refrigerator section. It could be Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is like, you know, fried up and in a bucket. It could be chicken, like, you know, chickens in your backyard, right? There's a million ways to sell chicken. And sometimes the only differentiator is who you're targeting, right? Kentucky Fried Chicken is targeting people who want late night munchy fried chicken in a bucket versus the rotisserie chicken in the grocery store, which is targeting the busy mom who can't make dinner and needs to run and grab that rotisserie chicken. It's chicken. So if you feel like you don't have anything that unique, don't despair, because what you have to do is you have to think of a wrapper or a unique person or a unique way that you sell what you sell, and then your unique selling proposition starts to take shape.
I love that analogy, especially when you went from chickens in your backyard to KFC, right? It is true. You can buy chickens. So do you ever feel like people have a unique offer that makes it harder to figure out the problem that they solve? Or do you feel like most offers are similar and they're trying to find the uniqueness of it.
I think I run into both problems. So I run into the problem a lot where people are selling, you know, whether it's wealth or health or relationships, and they're too broad. They don't really dial in the problem all that well. And just like Jeannie said, like, it sounds like everybody else. And I'm thinking to myself, you're never going to beat your competition, because if you're a business coach, you're competing with Amy Porterfield and Marie Forleo and me. And like, how are you going to stand out unless you narrow down what you do and then make it different and unique? So I see that a lot. Other times people think they have something that's never been done before, so they don't think they have an issue with the UVP. And in some cases that's true, but in other cases, if nobody's doing what you're doing, that's not a good sign. That's a sign that you might be trying to solve a problem that people don't really want to pay for. Because at this point, you should have competition. Otherwise, you might be in a market that's not very profitable.
Yeah, that's so important. I think, you know, people don't always realize that. They think, oh, I came up with something totally unique. Well, it needs to be somewhat familiar. People need to know it exists. Unless you've got, you know, millions of dollars to spend to build the brand itself. So yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, you want to go after people that are actively looking for a solution to a painful problem. And if you are trying to sell something that they don't think is a problem, you are going to have a hard time.
Yeah, I feel like we actually struggle with that, because, you know, we really help. We work a lot with real estate agents who obviously want to generate more leads, and video marketing is such a great way to do that. And but then we have to overcome the fear of being on camera, you know, teaching and then helping them understand SEO, local SEO. I think it is sometimes hard to have that value proposition when you feel like, again, you're competing with every person out there that teaches people how to use YouTube. And then what we do is a little bit different, because we train virtual assistants for the real estate agent to take care of all the video editing, social media marketing, and all of that. But I do feel like we stumble a lot over that.
It's really common when you're really like a genius or an expert at your niche, because you have the curse of genius. You know, you see this a lot where in marketing coaching and business coaching, you know, someone will come to me and they'll be like, well, actually, the reason they're not growing their business is because they're not dialed into their mindset. And I'm like, that is not the problem they're walking around thinking they have. You have to go to the problem that they think they have, and you have to meet them there. And your offer has to have a unique value prop that says, hey, ooh, I haven't tried this before. Let me try that. And then once they're in your world, you can attempt to educate them. But I see that so often, right? So your real estate agents, they may not even think that they need video. They may be thinking, well, the reason why I don't have enough, you know, buyers or sellers is because of the market, or because my website isn't good enough, or whatever they're going to think. And you're over here going, no, you need to be on YouTube, or you need to be doing video. And they're not, it's not even registering, because that's not the problem they're actually looking to solve. So there's like an education gap. And you can bridge that gap with certain funnels. You can meet them where they are and like educate them to the real problem. Other times you have to actually just meet them where they are and just Trojan horse your way in.
Yeah. And I feel like I was laughing when you were talking about the problems. Oh, it's my broker. I'll change brokers. You see that a lot. You know, I'm not getting the support. I'm not getting the help that I need. And it's really hard to explain that, you know, sales is a contact sport and you're simply not coming in contact with enough people. And, you know, what could help you actually do that? And then I feel like we fumble too, because I always joke that we're not a marketing agency and we're not an outsourcing agency. You know, we coach the client on the marketing strategy and we train the virtual assistant to do everything on the back end. But I feel like that's still something that, like, nobody's doing it quite this way. They're either a marketing agency or they're an outsourcing agency. So sometimes I do feel like we're fighting an uphill battle in that conversation.
For sure. For sure. And there's, you know, there's information there, because when something is hard to sell, it usually means that you're not exactly hitting the problem right between the eyes. And because in your case, right, in your particular business model, you have to educate them on why they need that type of marketing. And then you also have to educate them on why they have to spend money on an assistant to help them do it, right? And so, you know, you've got like battles on both sides, basically objection battles on both sides that you have to crush. That can be really tricky.
But like you said, if you start with a very strong value proposition, you understand the problem that they have. I think for most people, you know, a real estate agent is going to blame the market. They're not looking for solutions, right? If they're going to blame their broker, they're not looking for solutions. But I think the people that are out there that are realizing that marketing's changing and they are listening to what's being said about video conversions and the things that actually happen for real estate, those those are our people. We just, like you said, we have to find a better way to get in front of those right people.
Yeah, those are the people that are actively looking for a solution, right? They've taken the personal responsibility to say, okay, I got to dial in my marketing and video is hot. Right. And so they're actively looking for a solution. They might be looking for YouTube. They might be looking for training on Reels. They might be looking at how to use TikTok locally. You know, like these are the things they might be looking for because they're already kind of spinning. And now you come in with a UVP that is like, hey, the UVP isn't YouTube because YouTube isn't unique. Right. But the UVP is maybe the way that you're doing or the type of strategy you're using for real estate agents. And then now all of a sudden, you're sort of like this beacon lighthouse in the solution market that they're looking at. And they're like, well, I want to go try that one because that one is different and that one is cool. Now you've got that hook.
Looking back over people that you've helped with their value props, what have been some of the most interesting that you've done?
You know, I'm going to use this example because I think this is an interesting, it's about unique value prop, but it's also about making an offer really tangible. So I had these women and they were makeup artists and they wanted to dial in their makeup business, right? Their digital version of their business. But they were really, like many experts, they were like, but we're about women's empowerment. I'm like, okay, but no woman who like doesn't know how to put eyeshadow on is walking around going, I want to empower myself. You know, they're like, I don't understand why I look like a hooker when I put this color on. That's what they're thinking, right? They wanted to kind of move into that brand. And so I said, okay, I said, fair enough. What is a tangible representation of an empowered woman? And so we were talking it over. And then what we stumbled upon was this idea of red lipstick, because a lot of us women don't wear red lipstick because it's bright, it's bold, it has a connotation. And so we feel like, I can't wear red lipstick. Like, I'm not bold enough to do that. And I said, well, is it true that women who wear red lipstick would feel more confident, more empowered? And so we came up with the red lip challenge, and it crushed, right? Thousands of women signed up because the whole point was it was going to be 5 days. It was a free challenge and it was going to help them find their perfect shade of red. And also it was going to get them in front of the camera to put on red lipstick and then tag and, you know, hashtag and all that. It was several years ago when hashtags, you know, still mattered, and put their picture up and say, I'm participating in the red lip challenge. I'm owning my red lip, you know? And so that's a really kind of cool example of how to take something a little intangible and like pulling it into something unique that just like hits like that.
I love that. And also, it also has that empowerment element, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, I'm owning, you know, my color.
Yeah. So that was me saying, okay, if you really want to do this, let's see how we can craft something. And it did. It worked very, very well.
Well, and it's interesting because I think they have such good hearts, right? They it wasn't just about putting makeup on. It wasn't just like, let me make you look pretty. They really wanted to empower women to feel confident, which is a beautiful thing, right? And I think that's so true with a lot of business owners, is they have the goal to really make an impact, to change people's lives, to truly help people. So I think I like where their heart was coming from.
It was ultimately a part of their UVP, right? Because there are going to be certain makeup artists you follow, and you follow them because they are unique in some certain style. And they didn't really want to attract heavy, overstyled makeup. They want to attract moms who needed a 15-minute makeup routine in the morning that they could do. And so this did adequately like target that population, because there were a lot of moms who were like, oh, I gave up red lipstick a long time ago, you know, and it kind of had this sort of like empowerment girl boss vibe to it.
Oh, I love that. That's a great example. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What would you say to someone who has like a business coaching business, you know, and like you said, has just got so many competitors in so many different ways? Have you had any of those examples? Anybody you work with in that way?
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots and lots of business coaches hire me. And it's a little bit, I feel a little hypocritical because I am not a hyper-specific business coach. And I always tell people, maybe don't follow exactly what I did, because I was up and coming in a time when there was less competition. So now I have this big, huge audience. I can kind of get away with it. But if you're just coming on the market, you need to be very, very specific. Very specific. Are you teaching a particular type of funnel? Are you teaching, you know, like I had one woman, she was just going to to focus on women with babies, like CEO moms, right? Just focusing on that group. I have business coaches that target just online health coaches with a specific strategy. It's like super niched down into usually a strategy and a population and now a unique mechanism. So like if you're a business coach, specific population, specific strategy, specific mechanism is really needed in order to get traction.
Would you define a specific mechanism?
Yeah. So the example that's coming to mind is Mariah Cause did this several years ago. So she's not a great example of a specific business coach, but she specifically launched with this idea of high ticket coaching without sales calls. And so this was new at the time. It's not new anymore, but at the time it was. You thought, oh, if I'm going to sell a $10,000 coaching package, I got to get on the phone. And she was like, no, you don't. Right. And so she taught this mechanism of high ticket hybrid kind of coaching. And she had a strategy with a particular type of funnel. And then she targeted a particular type of business owner and she sold a lot of it.
That's impressive. Yeah. So if you think about it, you have to be good at something that you can teach or help people with. And you also have to have the great value proposition. You have to have the right funnel. And then if you can get lucky, you can find a mechanism that could work. So that's pretty magical. Have you helped anyone recently with those three things?
So I have one client who's doing really well, and I guess you'd call her a business coach. It's interesting because that wouldn't be the first thing that I would call her, which I guess is a sign that she is actually dialed in pretty well. So she teaches wedding professionals, so wedding business owners, how to book out wedding shows, right? Because that's a big marketing strategy. So she's very specific, right? She's going after wedding professional businesses. So caterers, cake bakers, photographers, that kind of thing, stationery. She had her own stationery business that she was very successful at. And she also booked out shows and she did a really good job at her booth and her show. So she had that expertise, right? And so then she came online and she built a course called the Wedding Show Blueprint. Fantastic course and teaching people exactly what she did at wedding shows, right? She had that authority there. She has a very specific strategy that is very tactical to help you get those full appointments. And so when she hired me, we worked on building that evergreen funnel that she could do every week. She's been blowing it up and getting sales every single week on her webinar, 20% conversion rate, selling her program. And she's an example of someone who's very dialed in with a really strong UVP.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that. So if somebody feels good about their UVP and they, you know, it's dialed in, how would you work with them to start that lead generation?
Yeah. So whenever someone is doing an offer with me, I have them fill out an offer brief first. An offer brief has 8 questions. The hardest questions on that offer brief are questions 3 and questions 4. And question 3 is what is the big idea? And question 4 is what is the solution? And that's basically the marketing side and the product side of the UVP on one coin. Once they have that, there are a couple ways that you can generate leads. Now, a webinar is a fantastic way. And so I do often recommend webinars. And that allows you to actually discuss your UVP in an educational way on the webinar. Sometimes you don't need to do it. The education isn't needed. In which case, a lead magnet that kind of opens their eyes to the UVP, which then leads them to a sales call or an automated launch or what have you. So those would be the 2 primary methods that I would recommend.
You have been a wealth of information. I'm so glad I ran into you at PodFest and got to invite you onto our podcast. And I'm so grateful that you're here. You have totally made Jeannie's week.
Thank you so much.
And so you have your own podcast. Tell us what the name of that one is.
Yeah. So I have several podcasts actually. So the one that I am most like frequently updating is called Million Dollar Grit. You can go to milliondollargrit.com or just search for it on your favorite podcast player. I do have to tell you though, I think I'm only on Apple for that one. And then I also do a podcast with my business partner at Funnel Gorgeous called The Gorgeous Effect. That one is on Apple and Spotify. That's more a little bit more design focused. And so you can find me at either of those podcasts.
Lovely. If someone wants to work with you, how would they reach out to you? Sorry.
That's all right.
Easiest way is to go to my website, juliechanel.com, C-H-E-N-E-L-L.com, and you can fill out the contact form there.
Awesome. And we'll put this in the show notes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Julie. Like Kirsten said, it's been such a pleasure for me having seen you over these grow quite a lot over these last 7 years to what you do now, which I think is fantastic. And you're helping so many. Thank you for sharing all your tips today.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.